if you could find brand new worlds right here on Earth, where anything is possible? Same planet, different dimension.
I found the gateway.
The Rewatch Podcast presents The Sliders Rewatch, dedicated to the series Sliders on Fox and Sci-Fi Channel. Join us each week as we continue crossing the Einstein-Rosen-Podolsky Bridge and find ourselves in strange new worlds. Email your thoughts on each episode to the Rewatch Podcast at gmail.com. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/rewatchpodcast or on Twitter at rewatchpod.
And welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast and our Sliders Rewatch. I'm Corey.
And I'm Tom.
Thanks for joining us this week. We're going to be discussing two more episodes of Sliders this week. It's The King Is Back and Luck of the Draw. Okay, so beginning with our first episode, The King Is Back, written by Tracy Torme, directed by Vern Gillum. This originally aired May 10th of 1995.
Gentlemen, check your flies.
Look at him! It is him!
Hey, hey, pretty good. You almost can't tell it's an act. You're here for the convention, right? You know, the Crying Man convention at the Oakland Hilton. All the top Rembrandt impersonators are gathering there. I saw it on the news.
Wait a minute, did you say there's a batch of people trying to be the Crying Man on this world?
Yeah!
Do you realize what this means?
Yes. It means you're popular here. It means we can't be on our Earth.
This means that this world just can't get enough of me. Unbelievable.
We begin with a long cinematic Steadicam shot only to reveal Quinn at the end of it in prison about to go on trial for a graffiti crime that was obviously committed by his double on this world. Of course, no one would believe his story of sliding, and he refuses to cop to an insanity defense and is thereby sentenced to the maximum penalty of death by lethal injection. Luckily, it is time to slide, and the sliders do just that, sliding from the filled courtroom to the same courtroom, albeit empty and in another dimension. Upon exiting the courthouse, people are pointing, staring, and laughing at our group. Within minutes, they are approached by an exposition extra who explains that Remy's costume is so good, it doesn't seem like an act, and that he must be here for the Crying Man convention. This, of course, leads Remy to be overjoyed that the people of this dimension have such an evolved musical taste that his music is so appreciated. As the group watches Skipper's Island and cheesy King Remy movies and videos on TV, the news interrupts and reveals that it is the 8th anniversary of King Remy's death, having died during an ill-fated boating excursion. TV commentators also speculate that Quinn, in the picture, appears to be Jim Morrison and Arturo is Luciano Pavarotti. The four are approached by King Remy's manager, Captain Jack, who comes with an offer of a worldwide TV special at $1 million a song. Remy can't refuse, being that this is his dream. Upon their tricky exit from the hotel, Remy is kidnapped by a deranged fan slash ex-spinning top, Maurice Fish. Despite Captain Jack saying not to call the police due to fear of penalties for canceling contracts on the TV special, Quinn calls anyway and works on finding Remy Prime, having memorized the kidnapper's license plate. Meanwhile, King Remy shows up, explains that he faked his death, and upon hearing about sliding, helps them find Remy Prime. Quinn manages to overpower Maurice, and Remy is saved. Remy Prime and King Remy have a talk, and King Remy hands him the keys to his kingdom, having had enough of the fame himself. However, at the TV special concert, once King Remy finds out about how much the songs are being paid for, he eagerly jumps onto stage, taking over, and introducing Remy Prime as simply the greatest Remy impersonator of all time. Remy Prime and the others leave, and on the next world, we see a child asking Remy if he's really the king. We pull back to reveal that he is simply a worker for King Ice Cream.
The promoters, they're gonna fork over.
Are you ready?
$1 million per song. Do you hear me, Remy? If you pull a Springsteen, you stay on that stage all night. I'll be set for life. And you'll be richer than you already are.
And will you excuse us just for a second?
Yeah, sure.
$1 million a song? We'd never have money problems again, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
We slide tomorrow night at 9.03 p.m. That'll be right near the end of the show. It's too close, too complicated. I say pass.
Wait a minute, are you crack, Q-Ball? This is everything I've ever wanted.
You worry too much. I'm doing the show, and that's final.
All right, Jack, I'm in.
Terrific.
Yeah, providing that we ever get out of here, though. I mean, I don't think Live at the Motel 12 has such a good ring to it.
Look, exiting this dump is going to be a little tricky, but you've got experience in things like that. Right, King?
Yeah.
All right, so how about a little bit of trivia on this episode?
All right, so this episode was going to have a similar beginning, but rather than just the Steadicam shot and the dramatic music, you were going to be hearing a TV show playing, and the TV show that you would hear in the background was actually called I Love Ethel, and it's basically, you know, I Love Lucy, but instead of focus on Lucy, the whole story had to do with Fred and Ethel, who were the stars. And instead of little Ricky, they had little Freddie, whose dream was to grow up to be a landlord rather than a musician like Ricky in the I Love Lucy show. So that was a kind of a fun little thing. I like when they do the little TV bits, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There was a much better scene in this one than what they had in the final one with the exposition extra. You call him Mr. Exposition. Yeah, because it's so obvious what he's there for, you know. But see, in the original script, the way they were going to do it, you know, Quinn was in handcuffs. So what they do is they go to a locksmith in this world right away. And while they're at the locksmith, you know, there's some comments back and forth, you know, about what kind of, you know, what happened here? Is he a prisoner, a pervert, or a magician? You know, and Remy says, oh, he's a magician. He made me disappear from my home planet, you know, and then that provokes the locksmith to say, hey, you know what? You look just like the king. That's so good. I can't even tell it's an act. So it was a much more natural way of getting the exposition out there rather than the way they did it in the final one. I would have liked to have seen that scene. That would have been a neat scene, I think.
Yeah, that sounds actually a lot better.
Yeah, it's much more natural, you know? It's much more natural rather than, you know, Wade's just very good at picking locks, apparently, or handcuff locks. I don't know. Hey, you know, this is Wade we're talking about. So there was a little bit of a line from Gomez. I don't know if they ever actually named him in the show, but like I see a lot of references to the guy behind the counter at the Motel 12, and Gomez Calhoun is his name. And there was supposed to be a quick little scene where the mother screams out something to the sliders as they're in the office there. Apparently she's watching from a hidden camera there. So there was a little scene about that. There was a little bit more from Skipper's Island. It was an extended sequence, so you got to hear a little bit more about what was going on in that TV episode. In the show, we had the Del Rubio triplets playing music, but originally it was supposed to be a group called, I think it's Pequeño, which I know means small in Spanish. But I've seen it on another site as Paquiro, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Pequeño. And it was supposed to be five Mexican boys, similar to the group Menudo. I don't know if do you remember Menudo from back in the day?
Not really.
No. I remember them when I was growing up. They were a Spanish singing group. And what's his name? Ricky Martin was a member of the group.
Yeah.
You know, eventually, yeah, he grew on to do his own thing, but he started in that group. But it was supposed to be a group similar to them, and they were singing Led Zeppelin songs in Spanish. But they couldn't get the rights, I guess, to the Led Zeppelin song. So they cut that and they brought in the Del Rubio triplets. They also had, when they were shown the different acts that Jack Brim has in his stable, one of the acts was going to be Cezanne Brown. If you remember his brother Cezanne from the funeral, right on, that guy. He was going to be shown as one of Jack Brim's acts that was billed as the king's brother. So he was going to be, you know, a famous star in this world as well. There was a segment with Jack Brim, a scene in his office where you could see his whole tribute to Remy. It was like a Remy wing with pictures and just stuff hanging up all over, posters. Some of the pictures were of Remy 40 pounds heavier in like a rhinestone tuxedo, just like Elvis as he got older. You know, he gained the weight and whatnot. And they were trying to do the same thing with Remy in those pictures. But I thought that would have been neat to see. But then, you know, when King Remy shows up, of course, he's not 40 pounds heavier. So, there's no reason to go that far into the joke, you know. There was another scene with Arturo being disgusted by the crowd outside. And he was kind of a little bit disgusted in the episode, but he goes on further in the original script talking about the Beatles and saying, I couldn't stand the Beatles and that Beatlemania and all that. And Quinn and Wade joke about the professor must be more of a Sex Pistols guy, you know. So it was pretty funny, you know. And I like the Beatles myself. And I'm like, Arturo, how could you? You know, you know, come on, man. There's also, it turns out that Gomez, there was supposed to be a scene or a couple lines where it turns out that Gomez actually put out on the Motel 12 marquee that staying there at the hotel was Pavarotti, the Crying King, and the Lizard King, a reference to Jim Morrison. So yeah, that's the reason why all the fans showed up. That's how they knew they were there. He actually advertised that they were staying there at Motel 12. There was a little bit more interaction between Maurice Fish and Remy in the kidnapping scenes. And originally, King Remy wasn't supposed to appear when he did in the episode. He wasn't supposed to appear till like the near end. That's when he would show up. And he was supposed to have much longer hair and a much longer beard, kind of like he was like in seclusion, not really taking care of himself, basically. So he wasn't supposed to show up till much, much, much later. And then finally, there was another scene when they were trying to find Maurice Fish, where they go and they find a guy who made a Remy doll that you like pull a cord and then it sings, you know, like those old children's toys you pull and it says something, but you would pull the cord and it would sing one of his famous songs. Right. It sounded like a kind of cheesy scene, actually. So I'm glad they didn't include that one in there. So that's all we got for deleted scenes, which is quite a lot, actually, for this episode. That's a lot of deleted scenes, a lot of changes that they made.
Yeah, that is a huge chunk of stuff they cut.
I love you guys, but my place is here with my music. Now, maybe it's fate. Maybe that's why I got caught up in that wormhole in the first place.
What about your doppelganger, your double? Professor, say something.
Mr. Brown, I can only add a note of caution to what has already been said.
Guys, I know what I'm doing. You gotta let go and try to be happy for me. I mean, just like I would be for you if you found your paradise.
Thank God they found you. You ready? How you feel?
Never better.
Okay. Remember the sequence? Tears in my fro. Love explosion. Cry like a man. Explosion of love. Then I'm a tearjerk. Who stole my woman? And then we segue into the big finale. Headbutt me. And then the encore. Weeping wall of tears.
I got it.
I love this man. Ladies and gentlemen, stand aside. The king is back.
All right, well, getting into our discussion of The King is Back, and this time it's something just a little bit different, which I have to mention. It's that they open at the end of their time on the previous world. With Quinn being sentenced to death for graffiti. I thought this was really cool. You know, a world where they have harsher punishments for lesser crimes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That is pretty harsh. You know, death. Yeah. Yeah. And they do this again later on. I know they do a couple times where they start at the end of a world. So you're left wondering what happened on that world? What was going on?
Yeah.
You know, it's a neat way to start. It shows that there's actually a lot more worlds out there that we don't see them getting involved in. So it opens it up for, well, I mean, fan fiction, but you know, if they had continued to go on, there's a lot of things they could have done. You know, there's like multiple worlds that we don't get to see that they actually got involved in.
Yeah. And you could imagine that they come up with all these ideas for scripts and maybe, you know, some of them are tossed aside and then other ones they're like, well, we can't make a whole episode about that. How about we use that as our way into the next story?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that's always pretty cool.
I just have to note that like in this episode, I mean, you could tell that this was around the time of the OJ trial that was going on because the judge is like a dead ringer for Judge Ito from the OJ Simpson trial. I gotta say, that you can see the influence of pop culture there on Sliders right there, placing it in time.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool as well that he gets sentenced and then immediately they slide and they're all like, oh my God, he was telling the truth about parallel dimensions.
Exactly, exactly.
And again, it's that thing of like, how does this impact that world? You know, a world that has these harsh punishments for lesser crimes. And then suddenly they realize that someone they sentenced to death was actually innocent.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but this reformed their criminal justice system. But as we talked about just in the trivia as well, I have to mention Mr. Exposition.
Right.
Because that guy, he just, oh man, he was just as bad as those, you know, extras at the beginning of Eggheads.
Right.
He just walks in, just lays out everything you need to know about why people are sort of giggling at Remy and freaking out.
Exactly. He explains it all, lays it out for you right there. And of course, because, you know, they have limited budget, limited time, you know, it would have been neat to have seen the other scene, but then that's a whole nother set. You know, what they would need to do. That's, you know, it's time and money.
Well, it's not even broken up by the Sliders sort of interacting. I mean, they may say like a couple of things, but he really just comes in, says his monologue about the whole thing,
and then walks
away, and then they have a discussion about it.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it's like, pause. Let me tell you what's going on. See ya. Bye. You know, yeah, that's true. Good point. All right. So we also have the Del Rubio triplets in here, which I don't know. Did you know the Del Rubio triplets were actually a real performing act?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And, you know, like I know that I've seen them before. And I think it's always like, you know, like on a TV show or something like that or maybe it was like a late night TV show, but they were around for quite a while and their whole thing was, as you saw, dressing crazy, sort of like outlandish for their, you know, cause they're a little bit of the older generation and they would do covers of pop songs just like they did. And that song that they did in the episode, Whip It, was like their big hit, but they did other ones as well. And yeah, they're a real performing act that had a career. I don't know what that says about music and the music industry, but there you go, you know?
Well, I love Captain Jack Bribb's like reaction to it. Oh, yeah. They sing their bit and then it's just like, girls, 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 stop whipping it.
Exactly. No more whipping. Yeah, that's enough. In this episode, I remember when I first saw it, I was like, oh, look at that. They're touching each other, you know, Remy and his double. They're actually interacting. They're touching hands and how do they do that? You know? And then like, I was, oh, well, he has a twin brother. All right. That makes sense. He has a twin brother. But like, when you look at it though, it's like, they're not exactly totally identical. You could tell if you look at it, which one is which. It's not like they're identical like you've seen in the previous episodes where they meet up with another Quinn. So, you know, it's like, I thought, well, this is neat that they can actually touch each other and everything, but I don't know. It just, I thought maybe, I understand why they cast him, but I thought maybe split screen would have been just better, you know, because you could sort of tell that it's not really Remy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm a bit of a cinema snob, you know, behind the camera kind of stuff. And I remember watching this and thinking that it's, you know, an all right interaction between two of the same character. But at the same time, it's almost, do you know what the Uncanny Valley is?
Mm-mm.
There's a movie called The Polar Express.
Okay, you know, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, it's kind of like bad animation where you look at it and it's supposed to be like human. But when you look at it, there's something off about it, and it just sort of creeps you out a bit.
Oh, okay. I get you. Okay.
So it's like with this, you know, it's not to say that like twins are creepy or anything, but you're looking at it. And
No. Let's not say twins are creepy. My girlfriend has a twin sister, so I don't want to get into that whole thing. All right.
But it's that thing where you're supposed to be looking at two of the same character.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that one of them doesn't look like the Remy that we know.
Right.
It's very close, but it's not the same.
Right.
So you can really, really tell that they're not using split screen or camera trickery. They're using twins.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does get a little off for me. And even his voice, it's close, but it's not the same. You know, he doesn't have the same cadence in the way that he speaks and things like that.
They're both actors. They really are both actors. Like I looked them up on their sites and everything. And Clinton has done a lot of stuff. Clavant has done a lot of stuff, you know, before and after Sliders. But they're just, I don't know. I prefer our Clavant, You know, I prefer our Remy over over Clinton. Nothing exactly. wrong with Clinton at all. He's a fine guy. You know. All right. So next, we've got Gomez Calhoun, the guy behind the counter we mentioned earlier. I love him in this show. I know we lose him eventually when we switch motels, but his whole relationship with his mother. I wonder if that's supposed to be like a little nod to like the Psycho movie with Norman and his mother, because she's always in the back, never seen, and he's, you know, running the counter up front. Just to me, it seems like a nod to that.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, because we got him in a episode Fever as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was the same deal. He's yelling out to his mother and she's just yelling back. But yeah, you're right. Eventually, we're going to move away from the Motel 12 and they're going to introduce a more iconic hotel.
Right.
That when they speak about it, we know exactly what they're talking about.
And there was a great, I think it was this one. There was a great quote from Gomez about taking mommy to the prom, which it made me laugh. I was like, oh, man. Okay. I get it. All right. Oh, boy.
All right. So getting into the main focus of the episode, Remy's this huge superstar. And obviously, they're paralleling the career of Elvis Presley. That he is the Elvis Presley of this world. And even down to the fact that he died. And it's sort of the play on the thing, because a lot of people say they see Elvis. You know, Elvis isn't really dead. People spot him. So here in this world, it's a play on that, but it does turn out that the actual King Remy isn't dead. He did fake his death.
And I'll tell you, just as a side note, I learned all about how Elvis faked his death while I was standing in line to return something at Walmart. There was a woman in front of me with pictures of Elvis on her purse. I just commented, oh, hey, Elvis. And she proceeded to tell me for the next 15 minutes about how this is actually a guy named John Burroughs, who he is Elvis, but Elvis faked his death because he was tired of that life and he wanted to get away. And he just started coming back with this new identity and singing again. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I learned all about that. But yeah, I think this is a neat idea that he faked his death and he's just living off, you know, he seems comfortable, seems happy, you know, he's out there, it was like in a wooded area, like by a lake or something like that. You know, he's just enjoying himself. I like that idea. You know, he's had so much fame, he got enough money and you know what? I'm just tired of it. I'm done. Time to walk away.
Well, did you ever see the movie Bubba Hotep?
I did. Yes, a long time ago. Yeah. Is
Bruce Campbell playing Elvis?
Mm-hmm.
Fighting, I think it was mummies, wasn't it? Egyptian mummies.
Yeah, it was mummies, yeah.
At a retirement home.
Yes, yes, exactly.
But yeah, I think we get a couple new Remy songs in this, but the one that they really featured was the Little Island Girl song. So that's,
right.
again, paralleling Elvis Presley, Hawaii.
The cheesiness of those movies, too. You know, like him standing on the surfboard, dancing just a little bit, you know.
It's so obviously green screened.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. That was good on him. It was a good deal.
Yeah, and, you know, we even get that little bit of dialogue from Remy where he says when he split from the Tops, he was approached by Captain Jack Broom, who promised he would take him all the way to the top. And Remy said, no, maybe not. I don't think I will. Right. And he signed with somebody else. So that's where it sort of diverged.
Yeah. And he should have signed with Jack Broom because obviously, you know, Jack did something for him.
Yeah.
You know?
And it, you know, he has that moment of realization where he's like, damn, maybe I should have. There's a couple like that. Arturo does the same thing at the beginning where Remy goes, oh my God, do you know what this means? And Arturo says, oh, it means you're popular on this world. It means we can't be at home.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of good little comedic bits in this one, especially, you know, you're going to have that because Remy's the focus. So you got to have some of that in there.
Yeah. And the whole thing about Quinn being Jim Morrison and Arturo being Pavarotti.
This is a very quotable episode, you know. I am an Englishman. I speak like this.
Then we get into the whole thing about Remy gets abducted by Maurice Fish.
Right, right.
This guy is super creepy.
Like he is super creepy.
He plays that role so well.
He does. He's excellent. I loved his scenes, you know? He was so good at it. I wanted more. You know, I really wanted to have more of that because he really did a good job of playing like a psycho.
Yeah, all the singing, you know, he's so delusional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, you could imagine that he makes little tweaks to the lines that were written as well because it's like when he pulls out the cutthroat razor. And he says, I usually use this for doing my legs, but it'll do your neck just fine.
Right.
You know, just, I really think the actor might have just put himself into these lines.
They did say there was a thing that I saw on the mention of continuity, I think it was, where they did direct him to not play his character like Remy. They wanted him to be a little bit more over the top, like Little Richard. Because when I was watching, all I thought in my head was, this is like Little Richard. Because if you've seen Little Richard in interviews and talk shows, that's how he is. He's very like over the top, overexcited all the time. And that's what they told this guy to do. Kind of do a combination of Remy slash Little Richard in his portrayal. And he was awesome. Like I said, great job.
And I love what you think about the Charmaine scene too, because I was thinking the exact same thing.
Exactly. The whole Charmaine scene, you know, and now the Charmaine scene, it's not like, it didn't do anything. It just went there, talked to Charmaine, like, who the heck is Charmaine? We don't even know really who she is. She says, yeah, go over here to this address. And okay, great. And even like I told in the trivia, I said there was another scene where they went to find a guy who made the Remy doll. That was like the original version they were going to do. They were going to have where they go on this wild goose chase and they find the guy who made the doll, thinking that that's where Maurice was. But no, he's at this other location. Same thing with the Charmaine scene. Both of those scenes were like, why were they in there? They were just trying to fill time or what? Because again, maybe just a better editor was needed behind the scenes to cut out certain things and keep other things in, because the Charmaine scene, that was a waste of time. Didn't need it in there.
And she's so specific as well. I'm like, why do we need all this information about the exact address, the color of the house? It's on the corner. Like,
right.
We don't need to know where this house is.
Exactly.
We just need to know that our sliders get there.
Right. Sorry, Charmaine. We just don't need you.
But, of course, Remy decides he's going to stay. He's going to take over for the king. It says he's going to take over his life, and Remy's so happy to do it. But then the real king hears that Remy's getting $1 million per song.
Yeah.
And he decides he's going to get back in life. He's going to get that money.
Yeah. I mean,
his rightful money.
Yeah. $1 million a song? Like, why not? You know? I mean, come on. But, you know, like, I was thinking about this. Remy, of course, wouldn't have been great if he had stayed, but he could have stayed and had a decent life. He really could have, because if you think about it, King Remy was there. He had all the fame and popularity. He got sick of it. He got tired of it. He didn't want to do it anymore. So he retired. He went out of the way. If Remy stayed, I'm telling you, the chances are really pretty good that King Remy is going to do the same thing again, because he's going to get the fame, and it's going to be even more now that he's back. You know, like now that he's back from the dead, people are going to be like crazy for him all over again. So he's going to have the fame he had before plus some, I bet. He's going to get tired of it. He's going to want to retire again. And then Remy could just sort of leap into that.
I think because of the way it went down, in that King Remy jumps in on stage while Remy's in the middle of the song,
right,
is that they didn't really have time to discuss it. Like,
yeah.
If they were aside, they could have discussed, hey, you know, maybe we could swap on and off, you know, we'll share the money together.
Exactly.
That way you can relax sometimes, and then our Remy can relax sometimes, and just split the duties, the pressure of being so big.
Yeah. If we had come back to this world, I think we would have seen once again that he was off and in seclusion, or he died, or quote, died again. And, you know, people are still doing the Remy impersonations. I think that's what we would have seen if we had come back to this world a couple of years down the line.
But this is, a theme that's come up of our sliders wanting to stay.
Yes.
I think we're actually going to see in the next episode as well. There's going to be just a discussion there as well. So this idea of giving up on trying to find their home and settling down in a place that they consider to be paradise, only to have it thwarted at the last minute.
Yep.
Same with Arturo. Last week, if he won the election, he would have stayed and been mayor.
You know, of course, we love Quinn and Wade and Remy and the professor, but this could have been like a show, maybe with an alternating cast, you know, like as they find the world that they like, they stay there and then they go on to the next world and maybe pick up a different character. You know what I mean? That might have been another way to go with the overall show.
Yeah, because, well, eventually they're forced to do that as they go through the seasons, and
right,
it kind of gets a bit kerfuffled.
But that would have been like just another interesting, you know, way to go. Perhaps out there is another dimension where they did just that.
Maybe. And now, another episode of That's Random with Remy.
She forgot to mention I can cry out of each eye individually.
This has been another episode of That's Random with Remy. All right, so getting into the second episode this week, Luck of the Draw, written by John Povel and directed by Les Landau. This originally aired April 26, 1995. So these two were the last two episodes of season one.
Ah, say what you will. This languid pace certainly allows one to enjoy life's simple pleasures.
Listen to this. According to this magazine, there's only 500 million people on this world.
Less than 500 million people in the entire world? Why, that's 10% of the population of our Earth.
Yeah, and the population of San Francisco is less than 100,000.
A smaller population is probably one of the antidotes to the ills of civilization. Fewer people, less pressure on resources, less stress.
Who's up for a horseback ride?
I'm game. I'll try anything once.
I think I'm going to pass on that. I'd go for some fishing, though.
Now, that is a truly splendid idea. Nothing more satisfying than coaxing one's supper from the depth.
You fish?
I'm English. We invented fishing.
Come on.
Our crew slides into a new dimension to be quickly greeted by a dog. Everything here appears calm and happy. As the sliders explore, they learn that here there is no crime, no racism. Everyone is happy and peaceful. Even Arturo, having lost his wallet, has it returned complete and intact. They discover that this world has only 500 million total people, which is a mere 10% of the 5 billion on their homeworld. Not only that, but San Francisco's population is a mere 100,000. Cars are available for them to drive, no questions asked, no keys needed. And if they're in need of money, all they have to do is go to an appointed lottery machine and ask for whatever amount they desire. The professor and Quinn play it safe, while Remy and Wade show their gambling sides by taking $5,000 and $1,000 out, respectively. As they walk away from the machine, onlookers comment on how they are amazed at those high rollers and that, quote, "May they rest in peace." The group splits up to relax. Wade and Quinn go horseback riding while Remy and the professor do some fishing. During their ride, Quinn falls and is hurt. As Wade takes care of his injury, Quinn looks longingly at Wade, and for a moment, we are hopeful of a Quaid reappearance. The conversation turns to whether or not they should consider staying here, in a place where life seems pretty good, as opposed to getting stuck on a dangerous world and a burnt-out timer. Later that night, a news report talks about a local extremist group called the Right to Lifers. A reference is made to Thomas Malthus, who Arturo explains, said once that humankind is doomed to misery because the population will grow faster than the world's food supply can handle. Wade then sees herself on TV being named as one of the lottery winners, entitled to $5 million and white card privileges, a card that she can present to any retailer and not be refused anything she wants. Wade goes on a shopping spree and lives it up, but Quinn is not happy and leaves. Eventually, he discovers that the reason the population is so low here is that the lottery is a mechanism for population control. The winners of the lottery help keep the population down by dying. They can leave their money and such to their beneficiaries, but they themselves must leave this world. Remy has since met an attractive lottery winner named Julianne and is getting along famously with her, including a backstage romp in the sheets. And Wade has garnered the affections of a young man who won the lottery as well, Ryan. They both decide to tell their newfound interest about sliding, hoping to take them with them and save them from certain death. However, Julianne does not wish to risk her beneficiaries losing her riches and turns Remy in to the lottery police. Quinn and Arturo go to rescue him, riling up the Right to Lifers and eventually saving Remy. Wade, attempting to join the other three to slide, is almost captured by the lottery officials, but Ryan comes to her rescue and all five, including the dog, slide to the next world. Upon landing, everyone is overjoyed except Quinn, who promptly passes out. Wade, cradling him, holds her hand up to reveal blood where Quinn had been shot right before sliding.
I haven't been in a limo this size since the tops broke up.
Miss Wells will be riding in limos for the rest of her life.
Not the way I spend money. What if I wanted to give my money to the poor?
Unfortunately, the last poor person won the lottery herself about 6 months ago.
What's the deal with this white card?
Very simple. You show it to any merchant. He gives you whatever you wish. You cannot be turned down. It's society's way of saying thanks.
Damn, girl. Some people have all the luck.
Thanks for what?
Thanks for playing the lottery. What else?
Okay, so a bit of trivia on this episode.
So there's a few things in here. Nothing major. There's a few extra lines when Arturo loses his wallet and Wade mentions giving a reward to the man, to the teenager who gave it back to him. And the guy says, what are you, crazy? Arturo ends up taking more than just $5 from the lottery machine. He takes $500 from the lottery machine. He says in the original script, well, that's $150 a day. That's pretty modest, you know. There's a lot more bickering in the original script about the dog. Arturo's constantly complaining about the dog slobbering all over him, getting hair all over him. There's the population conversation when they talk about how many people are on this world was originally held on the street, not in the park. They were walking. There were some comments about taxis, that the taxis were gotten rid of back in the 1950s because we just didn't need them anymore. There was a little bit more of an extended scene of Quinn and Wade getting the horses, some more little playful banter between the two of them. And again, Wade is sort of talking about the dog staying with Uncle Arturo while they go to do their horse ride. So they're putting these little jabs into Arturo with the whole dog thing because he does not like dogs, apparently. The Quaid scene that happened was a little longer, just a little couple few lines here and there. The lottery was not going to be hosted by the guy that hosted it. They originally wanted to have Robin Leach, you know, from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I don't know if you remember that show or not.
No, I do remember.
Yeah.
That,
yeah. So he was supposed to be the original host. I don't know if they just couldn't get him or timing didn't work out, what happened. But yeah, he was supposed to be the original host. Ryan's original name was not Ryan. It was TJ Martin. I don't know why they changed it. Not a big deal. Arturo didn't like the idea of bringing Julianne. He was a little bit more adamant with Remy, like, no, we can't do that. You know, we might not be able to make the slide. No, he was a little bit rougher about it than he was in the final script. The processing center, which it's probably a good idea they changed the name. The processing center where they took people to die that messed with the lottery. They were going to name the processing center the Kevorkian Center. It's like, yeah, let's change the name. Okay, we're going to get letters. You know, if we do this, okay, forget about that. So yeah, it's a good thing they changed that. At the end, when they save Remy and they get in the car to drive away, it was going to be remote controlled and the people at the processing center were actually controlling the car and they were trying to get them back to the processing center and they just ended up ripping out the wires and causing the car to crash. Otherwise, it was the same scene. And then there was this other thing. Originally, no one was supposed to be opposing the lottery. There weren't supposed to be any right-to-lifers. And on the again, all these scenes are taken from dimensionofcontinuity.com. You can check out the scenes yourself there. So originally, no one opposed the lottery. They had scenes about, you know, why that happened, and there was a little bit more backstory to that, but those scenes weren't listed on Dimensions of Continuity. They said eventually they were going to get them up there, but for whatever reason they never did, or maybe they couldn't find them. I don't know what quite happened there, but they just said, we don't have these. We were going to have them, we don't have them now, and that's it. So it might have been it's obviously a whole different story if no one opposes the lottery. And the ending would have changed quite a bit, I think.
Yeah, it makes more sense that they would at least have this faction mentioned, if not overly featured.
Right. And there was one more thing that I just had to make a mention of. I would have loved to see this because it was just like those TV shows where they you know, the TV shows where they have the scenes of, you know, Judge Wapner on there and the one we were just talking about earlier. It's this scene here. It was Amazing Bargains. We get another return of the Amazing Bargains folks here. And I just want to read a little bit of this excerpt from the script here.
Mike, look, we polished this side with a leading coffin cleaner. It looks so dull. But this side was polished with Mr. Casket, the complete coffin cleaning system. Mr. Casket polishes, shines, cleans, and disinfects your coffin, making it much harder for the worms to get to your corpse after you've been lowered into the ground. That's fantastic.
Had to do that. I had to do that because I wanted to see that scene. You know? Mr. Casket, the complete coffin cleaning system. Now how much would you pay? All right. Anyway, there you go.
Well, I could see why they would cut that. It does seem like it's a little insensitive.
Just a bit.
Just a wee bit.
Not quite going with the theme they're trying to build.
Right.
It's barbaric.
On the contrary, my boy. In some ways, it's more humane than our society.
Professor, they kill people to limit the population.
And in our world, millions of people die every year through war, famine, disease, caused in part by the fact that we refuse to accept limits on our population. Here, they kill volunteers, painlessly, and generously reward their beneficiaries. Now, you may abhor their methods, as indeed do I. But as a man of science, you cannot dismiss the result.
All right, so into our discussion of this episode. I say you've got a sticking point here at the beginning.
I'm just like, you know, and if you couldn't tell from when I was doing the synopsis, why the dog? Really? Why do we need the dog as part of our sliders?
Henry the dog.
Henry, yes. Henry the dog. I don't get it.
Yeah. No. I think the only thing I could think of is that they're really trying to push that this is a place where Wade could feel comfortable.
Yeah,
because
maybe
it's going to come up later.
Right.
You know, again, that theme of wanting to stay.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I didn't think of that. Maybe that's why it was done. I was just like, is this supposed to add to like the suspense, you know, because it's like, you can't keep the dog quiet when you need to. That's how she gets caught near the end, you know? And I'm like, wow, we got enough suspense from the world. We don't need an extra little creature running around with us. And not that I'm against dogs. Don't think I hate dogs. I love dogs. But I'm just like, come on, really?
Yeah. And the Quaid moment in this episode I thought was really strong.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
great.
You know, Wade's talking about, you know, it's such a beautiful place. We could stay here. We could make a life for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
She also sort of makes the comment that, oh, you know, I thought we decided we weren't going to discuss this. So it's like, right. You were saying, it's like there's these other worlds that they've been to, which we haven't seen as part of the show regular. So at some point they've addressed the fact that they sort of got really close during the episode Last Days. And, you know, they had all that kissy kissy time.
Yeah.
But they've addressed it where they sort of decided that they're not going to do this. They can't get attached. Too much is going on. But hey, here we are. We're in this beautiful world, you know, so stress free. Maybe we could just settle down together. And, ultimately it's something that I don't think Quinn wants to do. He wants to get everybody home.
Yes, that's his mission. Settling down for him. I mean, it's like Star Trek Voyager. You know, they could have settled down on a bunch of different planets along the way, but they want to get home. That's their goal, to get back to where they came from. That's what he's focused on. I mean, not that he doesn't like, he, you know, obviously he loves Wade. You know, there's an obvious connection there, but his focus is not stopping. It's like it, and if he did stop, he wouldn't be happy. That's the whole thing. As happy as the world would try to make him, and as nice as the world was, you know, before they found out the whole dying thing, you know, as happy as it seemed like it would have been, his mind, he would have wanted to solve, like, all right, I need to find a way to get back home, and I need to try this, I'll try that. And like he would have still been inventing and trying to find a new method of sliding to get him back to his home dimension.
Yeah. And you know, this world presents such a simple life, like a beautiful life as well, because they're walking around and, you know, there's like fresh produce and it's super cheap. Arturo drops his wallet and the kid just returns it, you know, no questions asked. And then there's the lottery where you could just walk up like an ATM, state who you are, ask for money and it gives it to you. On the surface, it appears like it's just the most ideal thing ever. I mean, can you imagine? Like, you could just get money when you needed it.
Right, yeah. Now, I was thinking about this. That begs the question. Is that how everybody gets their money? Do they get their money that way? Or do they actually have jobs? Like, do they work and get money that way as well? And the lottery machines are set up just for people who don't want to work?
Well, it's like, you know, after they get the money, there's those two guys. They refer to them as high rollers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It's a gamble. You can get as much money as you want, but it's probably set amounts. So the more money you take, the more entries into the lottery you have.
Right.
You know, so Wade, what does Wade get? She gets, what, 10 grand?
No, I think, well, Remy got 5,000. I think she got 1,000, I thought.
But you can just imagine, like, the higher the amount, the more entries into the lottery. So you've got more of a chance of actually winning the lottery, the more money you take. So Arturo takes what? $10 or $100, something like that.
So yeah, he's a really, very cheap.
So that might be like one entry, but you get $1,000, right. That's 10 entries or something.
Right. So people do probably still work and get money that way. But yeah. If you wanted more, you know, like say, you know, you wanted to buy a new car or you don't need a car. Okay. What if you need a new guitar? You know, thinking myself, I want a new guitar. I didn't have enough from working. I could just go up to a lottery machine and say, yeah, give me $2,000. I'm going to go buy a Martin, you know?
Yeah.
And then I could get my Martin, but then I might also, you know, I might win the lottery.
Yeah. And it could be like a clean slate thing too. So it's like this week I asked for this amount. The lottery is drawn. Maybe it cleans the slate again. So next week it's all clean slate. You can go get more money, re-enter the lottery and things like that. So
right,
they don't get too in depth into the actual workings of it, but that's how I would imagine it would be.
Yeah. Well, that's our job. Our job is to get into the depths of it and say, this is how it probably was, you know?
Yeah. And of course, it leads to the idea that this is designed for population control. And it's in the discussion between Quinn and Arturo where they actually have an intellectual discussion about it. Quinn thinks it's barbaric. Oh my God. Right. How could they do this? But then Arturo's like, well, can you argue with the results? You know, lower population, less stress on resources. That's why people seem to be so content. You know, there's no crime. There's no violence.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even need to worry about buying a car. You can just go and use a car if you want it.
Yeah. It's not forcing people to die. The people volunteer for that. They volunteer to play the lottery and basically saying, all right, well, if I win the lottery, then I choose to die. I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. He said millions of people every year die from starvation and disease and so on. Here, these are volunteers who are killed humanely, painlessly, so life goes on. So it is that whole thing about, can you reconcile this idea of killing people versus the result it has on the world?
And you know, they didn't go into too much of any of the alternate history, but in that deleted scene, like I said, they talked about getting rid of the taxi cabs back in the 50s in the deleted scene. So it's been around for a while. It's not a relatively new thing in this world. It's been around since at least the 50s, you know, and probably well before that. It would have been neat to have had a little bit of information about how that was even proposed at the beginning. Because how would you propose something like that to the world at large? I guess with that whole Thomas Malthus thing, just say, hey, you know, this guy is right. We need to slow down and not have so many people on this planet, or we're going to, you know, end up really hurting ourselves. So maybe that's how they did it. I just thought that was a neat idea. It's been around for a long time. It's not a relatively recent thing in this world.
Yeah, and it's something we get from the little we see of this right to life movement. Is when they're picketing the ceremony thing that they go to, and their signs say things like birth control, yes, the lottery, no.
Mm-hmm.
So it is that kind of thing where it's not quite refusing to limit our population. And like, this is the road that we've taken. We don't really refuse to put restrictions on population control.
Right.
But, you know, we are getting through issues of things like abortion and birth control. And, so actually getting into something of actually, euthanizing people, I guess, in order to limit our population is somewhere that our world can't actually get to, but this world has been able to reconcile itself into doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way that they reward these people as well, I think is really, really cool. This white card.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just that you get a white card and you can just go anywhere and do anything and have anything. No vendor, nobody can turn you down. If you want something and you have a white card, it's yours.
Right.
And you can have that for the rest of your life, however long that is. I don't know. What do you think it was? Maybe a couple of days, 2-3 days?
It didn't seem very long at all. You know, it seemed like just a couple of days at most. You know, I would want at least a week. You know, give me a week. If I'm going to win the lottery, if I'm going to play, you know, give me a week to just go freaking crazy.
They even have the whole thing about how you can leave money to your beneficiaries.
Right,
so
exactly.
you do get a large cash amount from winning. And that can go to your family or whoever.
Yeah, charity, you know, anything like that.
Yeah. And in the meantime, you're not actually going to spend any of that money because everything you want is free now.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it is a really cool concept. I love this idea. And then getting into the other side of it, what happens when you try to tamper with the lottery or abduct lottery winners? And this is Remy's story in that he meets Julianne and he wants to take her, but she turns him in. So what do you think of that? I guess they sentence you to death for doing
that. Yeah, it's a crime to tamper with the the lottery at all, you know, in any way. So yeah, I didn't expect, like when I was watching it, I didn't expect her to be the one that turned him in. I was thinking it would have been the guy. So I was a little surprised when I first watched it. I mean, I knew this time around, of course. But yeah, originally when I watched it, I was like, oh, it was her? Well, damn. She, all right, okay. She seems so nice, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think she demonstrates the hardcore believer in this system.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Because especially, well, because Remy, she requests, and they have to give it to her because she's a lottery winner.
Right.
That Remy be there to watch her die.
Yeah.
And she thinks it's glorious. You know, they call it making way.
Yeah.
And she thinks it's a glorious sacrifice that she's performing here. And I guess she wants Remy to understand that. And of course he can't. You know, he just watched her kill herself.
Well, yeah, exactly. When I went into this episode, I was a bit prejudiced against Ryan already because I know him from X-Files. You know, his character over in X-Files.
Yeah,
so I was like, it's like, he's got to be the one who's turning them in. That's what he would do, you know? I was typecasting him.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was actually Krycek at this point, though.
Oh, really?
In actual time. Okay.
Well, because...
I don't know. He might have come into X-Files a little bit later. This is something that we haven't seen yet, is that they actually do take somebody else with them when they slide. And that is Ryan and the dog as well.
And the dog. You know?
They were already talking about how dangerous it is to take a whole extra person with them.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to take the whole extra person and Henry the dog. So that's even more dangerous.
And they said the more that they take in there, the more the people that slide, the more they're straining the system is what they said specifically. So that makes me wonder again, is it all in the timer or are they pulling from another source?
It was part of the deleted dialogue that we went over that you found was that the time between the ability to open the vortex is actually to give the timer
a rest. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually hit that like sweet spot of a time to reopen the vortex. Does that mean that by taking more people, is it possible that the vortex would fail or that it's just that they're going to be on the next world for a longer amount of time because it needs more time to stabilize?
Maybe it means that if they take more people, they're going to have to reprogram the timer for an additional person so that the timer can adjust itself. Maybe that's what it would mean.
And, we don't really get much of this because this is where the episode ends. They all slide through. Ryan is super excited.
Right.
Because they were telling the truth about alternate dimensions. But immediately, Quinn falls down because he's been shot.
I mean, it's a good cliffhanger ending, for sure.
Well, for the season.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder why they did this. Was it purely to have a cliffhanger ending? Or were they concerned that Jerry O'Connell wasn't going to come back?
No, from what I understand, from what I could get, they put a cliffhanger in there purposely because they wanted to be renewed, of course, but they didn't want Fox to just forget about it, to let it go, you know? So they wanted to make sure, yeah, we're telling a story here, you know, we need to continue this, you know? Because Fox said to them, like when they renewed them, they said, we don't care about that Quinn got shot. Just start a new season. Don't worry about it. He got shot. Who cares? No one's going to remember that. That's what they said. And Tracy Torme fought back, you know, and said, no, we need to resolve this. He was shot.
Yeah.
People will remember.
It needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's a whole different thing in today's TV viewing world. But back then, you could sort of understand their viewpoint. It's not like it is today where a serialized show is, you know, important like it is today. Like there's so many serialized shows that count on being shown in order. But back then, this was a newer concept. You know, even with the X-Files, they had that overarching mythology, but you can sort of mix those episodes up quite a bit because a lot of them were just typical Monster of the Week episodes and you could show them in any order. So it was still something that was coming about, the idea of having to show a show in proper order. So they, you know, Tracy Torme fought against it and they said, all right, well, you can deal with that, him being shot, but you have to do it in the opening stinger. That's it. And be done with it. Nothing else. That's the end of it. So that's the reason for, what they had happen there.
And we're going to get into that next week. Thankfully, the first episode of season two is the first episode of season two.
Right, exactly.
Mix that up or anything. So that is going to be addressed as we get into next week's episodes.
And so before we finish up with the discussion, there was a little bit more about Ryan, because I just wanted to mention, talk about Ryan a little bit, because he's not going to be, he's not really in the next episode. He is, but it's, he's not a major part of it. So
yeah, he's going to be addressed in that.
Yeah, he'll be addressed right in the beginning.
Stinger.
And then you'll never hear of him ever again. So I figured now would be the time to talk a little bit about him and his character. The actor, of course, Nicholas Lay. What I was looking at, I found that it said that he had to make a choice between doing the X-Files and doing Sliders. And eventually what he chose to do, he wanted to do the X-Files, which is why he did not continue as a recurring character. The writers of Sliders actually had a multi-episode arc written for his character. He was going to stay on for a couple episodes and be a member of the Sliders before being written out. But he decided he just wanted to go with Sliders and he couldn't do both at the same time. So that's why that never came to fruition there. I would have loved to have seen him stay on Sliders. I think that would have been a neat thing to do, introduce this other guy who obviously has an interest in Wade beyond just being buddies, you know, best friends. So it could have introduced this whole dynamic between him and her, and then another dynamic between Quinn and Ryan, because obviously they are going to butt heads. Quinn was not a fan of his at all.
Yeah, it would be introducing a new element, because our four Sliders, we connect to all of them because they're all from Earth Prime. So introducing an element of a person from an alternate dimension would sort of flesh out further storylines.
Yeah.
You know, in that he would have a different perspective because he's from a different world.
And see, that, I thought that would have been an amazing story to actually, you know, see done. It would have taken it in a whole different direction. But being Fox, it wouldn't have worked because they don't want to show things in the order that they were shot. You know, they want to mix it up, put the more action episodes in the beginning to catch people's attention. So it wouldn't have worked because they might have shown, you know, some Ryan episodes like at the end of the season instead of the beginning of the season. It would have been very confusing.
It's still going to be a little while yet until we start getting into characters, full-time Sliders characters,
right,
who are from an alternate dimension.
Right. And plus, we learned a little bit about Ryan, and he seems like Captain America, you know? Like, he's done so much, you know? It's like I did this and this and this and this and fought the Nazis, you know, I won the war. You know, he's like he's a pretty amazing guy. He got the bullet out of Quinn's shoulder. So I don't know if he's a doctor. I don't know if they said anything about him being a doctor, but he was able to get the bullet out of Quinn's shoulder. Again, spoiler alert, whatever. You guys know that happens in the next episode. He got the bullet out. So he's a pretty talented guy. So I don't know. I thought it would have been neat to have him in the group. The dynamic and everything would have been really interesting, I think.
Yeah, I kind of got this whole thing about how maybe he pushed himself to do a lot more at a younger age.
Right.
And then decided to start playing the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he got all that stuff out. He traveled. He learned things. He broadened his horizons. And then he started to play the lottery to try and settle in. And eventually, he won the lottery and was getting ready to make way.
Right.
So, yeah, he actually did have an interesting story for as little as we got of him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a great character that wish we could have seen more of. And that's a common thread in a lot of Sliders episodes that we'll come upon. You know, great characters, just we didn't get to do enough with them.
And I have to say, I think this might be my favorite episode of Sliders. I love the themes.
Mm-hmm.
I love the extra characters. I love the world. It was very well developed and, yeah, a very strong episode of Sliders, I think.
We made it.
Everybody okay?
Woo! Unbelievable!
What did I tell you?
Quinn? Oh my God.
Quinn?
Shall we get into some messages in time where we flash back to what viewers were thinking at the time Sliders was airing?
I've been looking at these old forums using the filters to narrow down the date. And when I do that, I don't find a whole lot about the actual episode. I've narrowed it down to like the week the show aired. I've tried opening it up to like 2 weeks after the show aired as well. And I don't find a whole lot specifically about the episode itself. But if I do a search for the title of the episode, I get some more hits, but they're not from when it aired. They're from a rewatch that they were doing in 1998. So 3 years after it aired, there was a rewatch going on, I guess, leading up to the new season on, I guess it would be on the Sci-Fi Channel at that point, the fourth year.
Yeah.
So there was a rewatch and they called it, I think it was called Sliders Vision from what I understand. And so I find stuff there mostly is where I find people talking about specific episodes. There wasn't a whole lot that I found, but for The King Is Back, they were mostly talking about how Clinton Derricks looks slightly different, you know, and there was a whole bunch of discussions on fraternal twins and identical twins. People were actually wondering, even in 98, they were like, how did they actually touch each other? They touched each other's clothes. Like, what, how did they do that? Like, they had no idea, you know, and then someone else was saying like, hey, he has the same last name almost as Clavant. Are they brothers? No idea. So yeah, people were wondering about that. That was the big thing about The King Is Back that they were talking about. For the lottery one, they mentioned that the lottery host was credited as himself, Jeffrey Edwards. He was credited as playing himself. And even I wondered like, well, why? And it turns out Jeffrey Edwards, I guess, was the California lottery host. I don't know if he still is, but back then I guess he was. So Jeffrey Edwards is kind of like, you know, the Judge Wapner, where he appears as himself on Sliders. So that's one thing they were talking about. Like I said, Fox didn't want the cliffhanger resolved. They said, you know, viewers wouldn't remember Quinn had been shot, and they were talking about that on the forum. And they had also mentioned that it's not just Fox. It wasn't just Fox, but the BBC was also showing Sliders episodes out of order, not in production order. So it's not limited to just Fox. It's, you know, other TV stations as well, or other companies as well. This, the lottery, which when I first saw it, I was in college again, and it brought to mind something that someone said on the forums, and I had forgotten about it. There's a story by someone named Shirley Jackson called The Lottery, and I read it back in high school, and it's very similar to what happens here in Sliders, very similar theme. I don't want to even try to give a synopsis of it because I don't remember exactly what it was about, but it was very similar ideas about controlling the population and whatnot. People were also talking about Kurt Vonnegut. There's a story apparently called Welcome to the Monkey House that is very similar to the lottery story as well. And then The Island, which I don't know if you've seen, that also has a very similar storyline as well to the lottery episode.
Yeah. Well, Kurt Vonnegut's probably best known for Slaughterhouse-Five, right?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with his work. So then let's see. There were a couple other general things that people were talking about. And I think we had mentioned this at one point about what would happen if they slid, like, you know, into a world that didn't exist anymore. Some of the people were talking about, what if they slide into a mountain? You know, what if they get trapped inside of a mountain, or and the group has to deal with sliding without him? Or what if they slide onto a boat? Or even more importantly, what if they miss the gateway? Maybe that would be an interesting concept to deal with. They actually missed the gateway, so now they need to find a way to get back into sliding again.
It was deleted from the Summer of Love episode, where they actually do get into the 29 years between slides if you miss it.
Right. Let's see. Some of the other posts on the forum were about, they were really, really technical discussions debating the number of infinite worlds and the possibilities of meeting one's alternates on them. What are the chances, you know? And like, it was so technical. I mean, it was going on for the whole entire page, and I'm scrolling and there's formulas, and I'm like, what is going on? So yeah, it not even worth mentioning, but they did discuss, they were talking about that, you know, back in the day. And then finally, what I consider sacrilege, someone asked if they couldn't have found someone cuter to play Wade. Sir, how could you?
Oh,
no. I know. It's terrible.
Wade is super cute.
I love you, Wade. You know, don't worry about that guy. I got you. I got you. I'll take care of you. Anyway, right. So this week, we have the messages from back in time, but we also have messages from Earth Prime.
Yes, we got an email. Very exciting. This comes in from Travis. He writes, "Hey guys, I'm a really big fan of Sliders. I was 15 when the show started. I loved Quantum Leap as a little kid, and this show gave me the same vibe. Watching it back now as a 35-year-old, as well as listening to you guys, I wish some of the storytelling was a bit tighter and more overarching. There is barely any carryover from episode to episode. No hurt feelings that have to be resolved over a 3-episode period. No internal beefs that take more than 44 minutes to resolve. For example, the weaker sex episode was a perfect way to introduce a prolonged back and forth with Wade and Arturo about gender roles and the like. Nothing big, but some needling side comments or jokes made at the other's expense would do just to make the previous episode matter and not seem like such contained shows. Also, I love the segment when the guys talk about cut scenes from the side with the original scripts." And that, as I said, was from Travis Bryant. So thank you for sending us an email. It's great to hear what you guys think about Sliders and even the individual episodes as we go through the seasons.
Exactly. And I didn't mention it. I don't think I mentioned it, but don't forget those cut scenes are over at dimensionsofcontinuity.com. You can check out their lost and found section. You could read, all the deleted scenes that were taken out, and you could even act them out yourself and have fun with your friends and family. You know, have a good time, you know, blistering idiot, you know, just enjoy yourself. Go nuts.
Absolutely. Okay. So next week we are getting into season 2.
Woohoo!
Well, that is season 1 down. So the first episode is the first episode, Into the Mystic, and then episode 2 will be Time Again and World. So really looking forward to it.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of the Rewatch Podcast. You can keep up with listener interaction by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/rewatchpodcast and follow the show on Twitter at @rewatchpod.
And remember, you can always write us an email or record a voice message and send it to therewatchpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you've enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rate and review on iTunes. That is always very helpful, helps people find the show easier and build that listener interaction. I guess it's time to get out of here, Tom. So until next time, Corey Metcalf, room 12 at the Motel 12. I'd like $1,000.
We got a slide.
The Rewatch Podcast is not associated with NBC Universal, St. Clair Entertainment, Fox, or Sci-Fi Channel. The use of any and all copyrighted material is only for parody, news analysis, critique, or educational purposes, as provided in United States Code Title 17, aka Fair Use. Music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Copyright 2015, The Rewatch Podcast.